What's up, everybody? It's your girl Markia. So all the teachers that told me I never amount to nothing. And you're now listening to.
Hold on.
Arts, crafts, and go the therapy. And the crazy thing is, this is season two. Hootie hoo! I know it's been a while. What's up, everybody? It's your girl, Markia, and I am the host of Arts, Crafts, and Go to Fuck to Therapy. This is my podcast, and this is actually season two of my podcast. So, round of applause for that. I'm super excited. Season two is going to be everything season one wasn't, meaning structure. Season one was really me finding myself and finding my identity as a podcaster and really trying to figure out what I even want to do this for. So many people started podcasts in the beginning of the pandemic. So, you know, I passed some bars, you know what I'm saying? By coming back with a season two, I'm trying to continue this. I really want to keep this going. It brought so much joy to my life and the life of other people. I've gotten so much good feedback. I continue to get good feedback on season one. So I hope you guys see the growth in me as a podcaster as well as me as a person, you know? So before we do anything else, y'all know how we start the episodes off. We gotta do our affirmations. I need everybody to go ahead and take a deep breath for me. All right, let's get going. I choose to focus on the positive. I am attracting great opportunities. I believe in myself and my capability. I radiate self-confidence and self-esteem. I am aligned with my higher self. I am grateful. I gladly accept every challenge that life unfolds. I am ready to start my day. I am in charge of my life. All right, now we're done with that. So how's everybody feeling? I know it's been a really long time since I've checked in with y'all. I promise I haven't forgotten about y'all. It's been so many times when I just wanted to just upload stuff just because I missed it so much. But I told myself if we gonna do anything, it's worth doing it right. So we really kind of, I took a step back and, you know, me and my husband and a couple of my friends, we kind of really just sat down and was like, Markia, what the fuck are you doing? You know what I'm saying? So I'm super excited to really debut season two. It's been a lot of recording. Episodes y'all will probably never hear. Interviews that will never air. But you know, it's all for practice. And I want to thank everybody for all of their support thus far, all of the listens, the shares, the likes, the feedback, the criticism, whatever you want to call it. I am so, so thankful. There are a couple people who I definitely want to give that public thanks to, my friends. And you all know who you are. You don't need individual shout outs. Those who have supported me from day one, no matter when that day one was for our friendship, I want to thank you guys so much for motivating me, for inspiring me, for pushing me, for encouraging me, you know, for believing in me when I didn't believe in myself. I definitely want to thank you guys for that. It's because of you guys that this is still going, that I'm still going. So I definitely wanted to give you guys that public acknowledgement that I may not always do in private, but the love is real regardless of whether I say it or not. To my husband, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. None of me would be possible without you, you know. And I know that sounds super like codependent, but when I say like he's my best half, he's most definitely my best half. Thank you for everything. Everything. I can't even put into words how much you mean to me and how much you mean to this show. It goes without saying that, you know, I just love you more than anything else on this earth. To my children, thank you for inspiring me. Thank you for motivating me. Thank you for giving me all the funny stories that I can tell people. And just thank y'all for being y'all. I know it's kind of crazy and you probably will never hear this, or you'll probably hear this later like, hey, that's my mom. But just know that you guys are awesome. And I'm so happy that I'm your mom. Like I could not have better kids. And to my family, thank you guys for the support, for the stories, for the childhood I had that gave me a lot of my stories. I'm in such a super thankful, grateful, appreciative mood, whatever you want to label it as. So much has happened since we last checked in, so I definitely, you know, want to kind of update you guys on where I'm at, update you guys on where we're at, mentally and physically. Just a couple other things I want to touch on before we kind of jump headfirst into season two. As promised, season two will have a lot more guests, but I felt like for the first episode, we kind of go back to our roots and just have me talking. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this check-in, I guess you could call it. Like I said, this podcast was for me. right? I mean, yes, people listened, and I'm so thankful for that, and I'm so grateful for that, but this was more so for myself. And it was really dope how I was able to sit down and listen to last season and listen to all the things that I was going through. And then, you know, internally, I was thinking about where I was, like, what was my headspace during this episode? What was I going through? Shit, it was some episodes I can remember what I was eating. So that was really, it was really cool to see. And so it's only right that I give you guys an update. So the very last episode for season one was recorded October 20th, 2020, right? It was World Mental Health Day. Today's date is actually Friday, July 9th. So by the time you guys listen to this, it'll be a day old or so. And so much has changed. So much has changed. Well, first of all, I'm not pregnant, so round of applause for that. If you know me personally, then you know that's like a feat. But there's no more little brownies coming out of this oven, I promise. I can officially say that I'm happy. When I was in Germany, I was going through a lot behind the scenes, even some things that I did not feel comfortable sharing. And we have since moved back to the States. You know, I'm surrounded by family, my mom and my sisters, and I'm a firm believer in you don't really know what you have until it's gone. And losing my mother-in-law last year really kind of put a lot of stuff in perspective for me. And so, you know, I've been doing what I can to kind of improve the relationship that I do have with the family that I have left, while still maintaining the boundaries that I decided to set for myself. So, like, in no way, shape, or form am I gonna allow certain things to continue to happen, but I'm also not gonna let those small things deter me from having a relationship with everyone. And I think that's super important to talk about, because family be the ones that try you the most, right? Like, I don't know what the fuck it is about family, but they just think because they family, they can say and do whatever it is they want to do. And I will not hesitate to put somebody in their place in a heartbeat. Because one thing about me, baby, I will leave. I will leave. The days of me arguing my point or explaining my feelings are over. The days of allowing people to invalidate how I feel are over. Regardless of what your, you know, title is with me. But, you know, the dope thing is that my family understands that. Like, you know, we've had a discussion about my boundaries and, you know, why I set them. Even though I didn't owe anybody that explanation, but I gave it just to kind of give some perspective. But they respect my boundaries. They have acknowledged my boundaries. And I honestly can say that, you know, since I've been home, my relationship with them has gotten better. Which only, you know, benefits me. I've gotten some more support. My kids have gotten some people to hang out with, you know, because I know they're tired of me. but, you know, I definitely think it was a really good conversation to have. I highly, you know, for those of you who are, like, on the fence about working stuff out with your family, not working stuff out with your family is cool, too. If you feel as though they're not going to value the boundaries that you have set, if you feel like they're just going to keep playing with you, then don't keep, you know, exposing yourself to that. Because some people, I mean, listen, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, and some people won't respect that. I got lucky, but that doesn't mean everybody will. So if you feel as though you don't have to work shit out with your family, girl, then you don't have to. That is completely and 100% up to you. And I think that was the importance of the conversation that I had with my family. You know, I don't have to do anything. Family is just a title. You have to earn your spot with me. You have to earn your keep in my life. And they understood that, and we, you know, talked about some things that I would like to change, the things that I want to stay the same, and it was a really healthy conversation. You know, back when I was going through like the height of my mental health crisis, my family wasn't really there. They didn't really understand. But I definitely think that over the years, you know, them watching me, seeing me, I've been very vocal on social media about the things that I've gone through, the things that I continue to go through. I think they have a better understanding of it now. And, you know, and I also think society plays a part into it, too. Like, the world is a lot more pro mental health now. There's a lot more conversations about it, you know. And so I feel like it helped them understand, you know. Plus, my little sisters are a little older now, so they can even offer opinions, you know, as the new generation. So, and I definitely think that that's attributing to the healthy relationship that I'm trying to establish with them. I mean, only time will tell, right? But for right now, I will say, you know, we're in a good spot. And I'm definitely thankful for that, because as much as those of us with a diagnosed mental illness, as much as we like to say we can do it on our own, you need a support system.
My husband has been my support system for such a long time, and I know it's very tiring when he himself is dealing with his own things. And so adding to my support system, I feel like will take a lot of the burden off of him. And so, you know, he encourages it, you know, whatever makes me happy, he's all for it, as long as, you know, I don't get hurt. But I definitely think, you know, in my head, I definitely think that this is going to help him, because this gives him more room to really deal with his stuff and not just my stuff. I feel like, you know, he buries his feelings in my shit. He doesn't have to deal with his shit if he's dealing with my shit. And so now that I've added to my support system, in a sense, you know, that gives him the space to deal with his stuff. So, you know, only time will tell, like I said. So we'll see. We'll see. So far, so good, you know, and I'm a firm believer in speaking things into existence. And so I think that this is a good thing. How open and how honest all of us are with each other, you know, my family and myself. I definitely think that's going to play a huge part in the success of me and my mental health in this journey that I'm on. But like I said, time will tell, you know. Okay, so where am I relationship wise? So, you know, like I said, we last left off last October. It was a really rocky time with, you know, both of us grieving differently and separately, also grieving as a family. It really, I feel like, drove a wedge in my relationship. It's been really hard trying to kind of bounce back from that. Whenever there's like a significant amount of loss, you can't tell people how to grieve. And so, you know, my husband just so happens to be someone who separates themselves so that they can grieve in private. And it was really hard for me to tell him, like, you know, don't do that. You can't do that. That's not right. Just because that's not how I grieve doesn't mean that that's not how he grieves. And I had to give him that space. That was something that I've kind of learned along the way. And I mean, now the communication is a little bit better, but it was a really, really rough time. Like, so I say this all the time anyway, but bro, like, marriage is not all sunshine and rainbows, because there was a lot of days where I really thought about pushing him on the floor in his sleep. And we had hardwood floors in Germany, so he really would have been hurt. So, but you know, it's gotten a lot better. Like I said, the communication's gotten a lot better. We both are attending therapy. I'm very, very proud of him for taking the initiative in doing it. I would love to try to take credit for all of the progress that he's made, but this is 1000% on him. He took the initiative to get the help that he needed to make sure that he could be, you know, the man that his mom would be proud of, to make sure that he could stand on his own. You know, yes, you know, he has a family and he has kids looking up to him and a wife who needs him, but most importantly, he needs to be able to count on himself. And there are dark days. Anybody who ever deals with a chronic mental illness can tell you there are dark days. There are times when you just realize, you really be like, you know, is this shit even worth it? Like, what am I even doing all of this for? What am I even keep pushing for? But, you know, as his wife and, as, you know, just as his best friend, it's my job to just really make sure that he knows that he's not alone. So, you know, he doesn't have to if he doesn't want to. But whenever he's ready, I'm kind of here to talk to him and to, I don't know, you know, just kind of be whatever he needs at the moment. But like I said, you know, it's kind of difficult waters to traverse because this is our first major loss as a family. And then we took losses back to back with losing Kim and then losing Lau. It was a really rough time for us. Being back home, I definitely think has helped his mindset. He's closer to his friends. I swear every week this man is leaving to go hang out with his friends. And you know, it does get mad annoying because I'm like, damn, I want to spend time with you too. But at the same time, you know, I have to understand that he needs that right now. And I guess this is a good time to bring up love languages, right? Because we talked about that a lot going through these rough patches. Like, everybody who, you know, everybody doesn't love the same, right? So like, for me, I'm really big on like quality time, words of affirmation, whereas my husband is a physical touch kind of person. So it really took me getting down off my high horse, like, because I'm spoiled, I'm not gonna lie, I'm spoiled Ryan. So it really took me kind of getting down, like, all right, we need to be adults about this. What am I not doing for you that you need? I mean, you really have to be mature enough to have that conversation, because it's not that you're not good enough, But how you want to be loved and how you love people may not be the same thing for everybody. That's just something I think a lot of couples, not even just married couples, but even in friendships, like, you know, love languages applies to friendships. I have a friend who's going through a lot right now. He's going through a whole lot. And, you know, I'm the kind of person where, like, when I go through shit, I want to back up. I don't want to be around anybody. I like to go through my shit by myself. I may call you and talk to you about it. I may not. You may never know what the fuck I was going through. It just really depends. But he's one of those people who kind of want to be surrounded by people who love them and support them and, you know, appreciate them. And so, like, whereas I was pulling back to give them space, this motherfucker was inviting me somewhere every time I turned around. I'm just like, what the fuck? So, you know, love languages applies to relationships as well as friendships. If you have a friendship, I mean, and it's so funny, but you don't gotta make it awkward. Like, you don't have to be like, hey bro, what's your love language? Like, you don't gotta say it like that. But I definitely think that if you want to have healthy relationships with people, just period, you need to be able to communicate with the people in a way that they are receptive. And that's where these love languages come in. Now, I'm not saying you gotta touch your best friend on the knee every 3 seconds for physical touch, but, you know, like, hugs, you know, like, let them know that you're there for them. Gifts. I love, like, little cheesy, like, cards and stuff. And so, like, my husband gives me cards all the time. Just random, like, little dollar store cards. My friends, I mean, like, I have, you know, I separate my friends depending on, like, the groups we're all in. But, you know, I love sending, like, TikTok videos back and forth. Like, we could literally go days not talking and I'll just send a TikTok video and we'll start talking about it. Like, whereas I'm not one of those people who needs to be communicated with every single day. You know, when we do communicate, it's nothing but laughs and fun and, you know, and good times, good vibes. So if you don't get nothing from this part of the check-in, I highly suggest that you sit down and evaluate your relationships and, you know, communicate with the people in your life to find out what their love language is. You know, especially if you feel like nobody understands you, nobody is getting you, find out what your love language is and then tell people. Now, if they make the conscious decisions to, you know, to make the changes that you need to feel that love, then you keep them. And if they, you know, can't get right, they get left. That's literally what it is. Another thing that I definitely want to say to people is that we confuse the strength of a relationship with the length of a relationship. Just because we've been friends for a long time or whatever the period of time is, does not mean we have to stay friends. And then just because we're not friends anymore doesn't mean we gotta beef. I think, I guess this is a nice little segue into the next part of my check-in regarding my friends. What's new in our lives? A couple of us have gotten out of the military. I'm settling into, what is this, year two? Year two of my retirement. I'm doing a lot better mentally than I was year one. I struggled a lot with acclimating to post-military life, especially still being surrounded by the military, with my husband still serving. So, like, because a part of me resented him in a sense because I had to get out. And so every morning he's getting up for PT and hating it and cussing people out and doing all that stuff. And then here I am wishing I could do some of the stuff that he still gets the opportunity to do. So I really struggled with that one for a minute. But I'm in a better place now. And the friends that I have that have gotten out since I've gotten out, they are doing a lot better. I've been kind of, you know me, I'm always doing something to help somebody. So I've been kind of immersing myself in the VA and the different programs that they have, and how to get in contact with these people and these people and these people. So lately I've kind of dedicated my time with helping my friends transition in a way that they don't experience the bumps that I have. Now, I have the luxury of being able to stay home with my children. Some people don't, they need jobs. So what I do is I go and I help them find jobs. I'll go over your resume. You can put me down as a supervisor or landlord, whatever you need. That's what I'm gonna be for you. Just let me know what lie we telling today, cause I don't want to get fucked up when these people call me. But yeah, like, I've been doing a lot of research on the different programs and stuff that the VA offers to veterans, the different benefits that you have with an honorable discharge. If you did not get an honorable discharge, how to kind of appeal that. So it's definitely been a learning experience. A lot of things that I wish I would have known before I got out. that I just make sure that I pass to my friends who are still serving so that at least somebody can benefit from it. There's so many programs and benefits and just so many things that vets or currently serving military have access to that we just don't know about due to, I don't know, I guess bad marketing. I don't know. I just want to help. So I just find the programs and connect people and kind of connect those dots. I've helped people put in their claims for disability. I've helped a couple people initiate the med board process. Like I'm just hell bent on helping people. Like, we dedicated our life to this country, and a lot of us only get a handshake and a piece of paper when we get out. And I just don't think that that's fair. It's bullshit. Like, it's bullshit. Let's be honest. Let's call it what it is. It's bullshit. So I've been helping a lot of my friends and my old coworkers and stuff kind of navigate those waters. So if you're listening to this and you need help, holla at your girl. What else have I been doing with my friends? So I actually, you know, now that I'm back home, I've been spending a lot more time with my back home friends. And then, like, I have a new group of friends, which is so cool. Can we call them pandemic homies? My pandemic homies. You know, during the pandemic was the rise of Clubhouse, right? And God, Clubhouse. But, like, throughout all that craziness with Clubhouse and Instagram and Twitter and everything, you know, I found, like, a really solid group of people. These people have kind of supported me through all the business ventures that I've started, stopped, restarted, revamped, and thought about. You know, I can come to them and talk to them about anything. They got me, man, like they just motivate me, they inspire me, they push me, I'm so blessed to have these kind of people in my life, because let's be real, like, there's not too many authentic people out here. So out of the millions of people in the world, for me to come across these people and for us to kind of establish, like, our own little family, like, I'm damn sure appreciative. And so, you know, between them and then my back home friends, you know, I've been spending a lot of time enjoying life. I felt like I was living, but I wasn't really enjoying it. And so now I start to carve out time for myself. You know, I'm constantly being a business owner, a mom, a wife, a daughter, a sister, a cousin, a friend. But, like, it's very rare that I get to just be Markia. And it feels really, really good when I get to do that. And I definitely want to thank my friends for kind of bringing that out of me and for showing me that, you know, loving myself does not mean that I love everyone else less. If anything, it means that I love them so much that I want to make sure that I'm as happy as I can be so that I can continue to pour into them. So I definitely want to, you know, thank my friends for that. But my friend life is going so well. Now, has there been people that fell off? Yes. And it's crazy because I feel like when people stop being your friend, motherfuckers don't know how to just not be friends in peace no more, you know? Like, people think that every dissolution of a friendship means y'all got beef, and that's not what it is. And I've had a couple of these situations in the last year. I'll say year. That's a very broad time frame. Yeah, I've had a lot of these in the last year. And it's crazy because this is right around the time when I had a lot of just discord in my life, and I just was like, look, I don't know who's up there, but whoever's fucking listening, like, just show me. All I need you to show me is who ain't with me, and that's it. They gone. I ain't about to do this shit no more. I'm not about to keep going back and forth. I'm tired of being in the middle of stuff. I'm tired of my name being in everything. I'm just tired. Show me what my path is, and I'll rock that shit. Like, just point me in the right direction, and I'm gone. And slowly but surely, people started showing me their true colors. People who, you know, called me sis. People who I've bonded with their children. People who, you know, I've literally, you know, pulled them out of dark spaces. People who I've helped them realize their dreams. People who I helped hit so many milestones in their professional and their personal lives. And that I really thought that I would be celebrating with for the rest of my life. You know, nobody goes into a friendship thinking, oh, we ain't never gonna be friends. We're not gonna be friends after December. Or we ain't gonna be friends after March. Like, that's wild to me. I would never put my energy into a temporary friendship. But unfortunately, that's just kind of how it works, you know? Like, shit just don't last forever. It's the truth. Shit just don't last forever. And as sad as it is, I'm not sad, actually. Now, has there been words exchanged? Yes. And if you know me personally, y'all know how childish I am. So a lot of words were exchanged. But you know, through this whole journey of self-discovery and all that jazz, like, I'm starting to realize the value in peace. And so I'm at the point where I'm gonna let you talk, but you only gonna be able to talk for so much before I cut you the fuck out and really, like, let you know about yourself. But I'm gonna let you talk first. I'm gonna let you talk first. And that's kind of where I'm at with it. So, like, you know, I'll let people say whatever they want to say with me, because at the end of the day, the only people who won't believe it are the people who don't know me. And do I really give a fuck what they think about me? No. And the people who do know me know that whatever they saying ain't the truth. It ain't, what the fuck? Y'all, come on now. Like, a lot of the shit that's been said about me in the last year, like, anybody who know me know I'm a very direct person. I'm very cut and dry. I'm very blunt. We can talk about your hurt feelings after I say what I said. But I say things, and I'm just gonna come out and say it. First of all, you never have to question if anybody comes to you and said, well, Markia said this, this, and this, you will never have to question it, because if I said something, I'm gonna fucking tell you. You don't gotta worry about me lying, girl. If I tell you I ain't said it, I promise you I didn't. But since we talking now, I'm gonna tell you this. Like, I've always been that kind of person. And so the he say, she say, like, that just really confuses me, because everyone knows how direct I am and how real I am. And then they hear something that probably hurt their feelings, or, you know, had them feeling some kind of way. And, like, I don't know. It's just like they flip the script on me. It's like people believe who you are until it's inconvenient to them and their narrative. So it's like people believe that I'm a straight shooter. I'm very straightforward. I'm very honest, and I'm very blunt, until they heard something that they wanted to believe so bad that they reversed their thinking on me. Like, if somebody else coming up to you and telling you something can convince you that I'm not the person you thought I was, oh, baby, we ain't friends anyway. You're easily impressionable, and I cannot be around people like that. Have a nice day. Like, have a very nice day at this point. And it's crazy because, you know, obviously, I'm fucking damn near 30. And so, like, I've lost friends along the way. But in the last, like, 2 years or so, I've definitely come to more of an understanding with it. I don't miss any friend I ever lost, period, at all. Not no associates, no co-workers, nothing. I have no regrets. Everybody who is with me now is supposed to be with me. Even if they're not with me tomorrow, they're supposed to be with me right now, and that's what counts. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm real big on celebrating the people who are here instead of mourning the people who are not. Because if that was the case, I'd be a very, very depressed individual. I mean, not that I'm not, but I'd be a lot worse off than what I am now. And it just, I don't want to live like that. I just love living in positivity. I love smiling and laughing and cracking jokes and all that shit. And I can't do that if I'm constantly mourning the loss of these relationships. No, I look at it for what it is. You served a purpose in my life. That purpose is gone. Your expiration date has come. Have a nice day. You know, here's a nice little severance package. You get to keep all our texts, because I'm pretty sure they're fucking funny. And have a nice day. I don't know. But like I said, it's some people who just can't not be friends in peace. And so, like, when I tell people I don't want to associate with you anymore, do not call me anymore, like, this is it, it's done, like, we not cool no more, they instantly think we got beef. There's no beef. I promise you, there's no beef. It's literally just I've outgrown whatever this was. Like, you literally serve no other purpose in my life at this point. And that's just what it is. Then, of course, when I say shit like that, then people be like, oh, you used me for this and you used me for that. Let's be clear. Everybody in your life serves a purpose. And once that purpose has been fulfilled, there's the fucking door. I don't force people to stay in my life. I'm not about to beg you to stay here with me, baby. I don't even beg my own daddy. Fuck, I look like begging a stranger. You see what I'm saying? Like, no. If this is what you want, you're going to have to go. At this point, my peace is too valuable. I need it too much. I'm addicted to it. I'm addicted to my peace. And I'm not about to let anybody come in and mess that up. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a damn what you think you bring to my life. What kind of value you think you hold. At the end of the day, I am the alpha and the omega. I decide who is and is not afforded the privilege, who are and are not, I think it's are and are not, allowed the privilege of being in my life, period. Like, that's just it. That's literally the end of the conversation. Nothing else to say. So But like, so, you know, friend update, like I said, you know, I've lost some friends, I've gained some family, and I'm in a really good space with my friends. Nobody's asking me for money. No one's putting too much on me that I can't handle, you know, and I'm happy. I'm in a really good headspace. I've started gardening. I guess we can kind of get into that. It started randomly. Shout out to the Furry Lash Mother, famelash.co. I want to say it's her website. Go check it out. But she's one of my pandemic pals. I call her my clubhouse cousin. But we were randomly talking in a room. You know, I literally go in a clubhouse Monday through Friday. And we were talking in a room, and like, she brought it up, like, oh, you know what would be so cool is if y'all get some plants. And so, you know, I did some research and stuff like that, and I started this project with the kids. Now, mind you, it started as a project with the kids, and when you see where I'm at with it now, you're like, what the hell? But I went to the Target, local Target. In the one spot, they had these really mini pots, and they had coneflowers and sunflowers. So I bought the sunflowers. I love sunflowers, my favorite flower. I bought some sunflowers, and each kid got a plant, and it was named after each kid. And every morning when they would wake up to eat breakfast, they would water their plant, put it in the window, and as they would water the plant, they would speak positive words to the plant, but they would have to use the plant's name, which just so happened to be their name. So, you know, we'll use Thing One. She would go water her plant, and she was like, good morning, Thing One. You are beautiful, Thing One. You are smart, Thing One. I'm so proud of you, Thing One. I love you, Thing One. And then she would put her plant in the window. And it was supposed to promote, you know, self-love, positive self-esteem, affirmations, that kind of thing, while we were also learning about germination and things like that in their science. For those of you who don't know, I homeschool, so you can turn literally anything into a lesson. And so, you know, it started with that, and I got obsessed. Anybody who knows me know, you can't tell me to try something, because if it clicks with me, I'm hooked. Addiction runs in my family. Unfortunately, on my dad's side of the family, alcoholism and, you know, drug abuse runs rampant. And since I do not partake in those things, I latch on to activities, hobbies, things to do. Anybody will tell you I'm probably the most scatterbrained person you can think of. My craft room is always a mess. I have about 5 cameras, 2 Cricut machines, 2 printers, an embroidery machine, like, I 3 computers. Like, it's a lot. Like, I'm addicted to just doing things. And so with the sunflowers, you know, they grew, and eventually they started dying, right? Because they started, you know, to outgrow the pot pretty much. So then I started doing research, and then I'm talking to the Furry Lash Mother every day, and we talking, girl, and we doing research, and we linked up with a couple actual farmers. Shout out to Sammy down in Atlanta. He owns a farm where he grows microgreens, and like, he provides microgreens to, like, you know, grocery stores and stuff like that. And Harvey, he has a family farm where they've been doing this for decades, as well as Ivy Lee Farms down in Houston. That's where I got a lot of my starter seeds or whatever. And they inspired me to get my first Carhartt, like, my little coveralls. I look so cute in my coveralls, y'all. And then once it start getting cold, I'm gonna get the little jacket they sell. Definitely go to ivyleaffarms.co, I want to say, or it might be .com. Just check it out. It's a black owned farm down in Texas. It's amazing. And it grew from sunflowers. Now, mind y'all, it was the mini pots. The pots could fit in like the palm of my hand. I actually transplanted those seeds as they were dying, like those plants as they were dying, into bigger pots. The damn sunflower comes up to about my chest now. It's really cool. It's multiple sunflowers in this one pot. I literally just transplanted it, I want to say like 2 days ago, and put it in a 5-gallon pot now. So I'm excited to see how big it'll get. But it went from the one, you know, everybody had a sunflower, to I have about 13 to 20 different plants now. I have tomatoes, strawberries, collard greens, spinach, okra, peas, cantaloupes, cucumbers, my sunflowers, obviously, the coneflowers. I have a bamboo plant, a money tree, a dracaena, some other plant I can't remember the name of. I have English ivy. I have zucchini, and a bunch of herbs. I have a lot of different herbs, things like chamomile, spearmint, peppermint, rosemary, thyme, basil. And I feel like I'm missing some, but like clearly you can see like I went OD. So now I'm a farmer. I call myself a mini farmer. This is my mini farm that I have in my backyard, in the middle of the city, right? But and it's so cool because like my cherry tomatoes have pretty much, you know, taken off. Like, and it was a point in time when they were actually dying because I didn't know what the fuck I was doing, but they've actually taken off. And it was so cool because my mom came down a couple weeks ago and she made spaghetti, and she actually incorporated the cherry tomatoes that I grew out into the garden, out in the garden. She incorporated it in the spaghetti. So it was really cool that the kids got to see what we grew. It's food, like we can eat it. So and it's actually helping me learn new recipes. We all know I can't cook. I tell anybody who will listen, I'm the Aunt Bird of the family. I bring the paper plates and the paper cups. Don't you ask me fucking cook nothing. But it's so cool because I've actually been looking into recipes and, you know, doing stuff like that. So, man, like, I'm obsessed with it. Like, I am obsessed with learning all about, like, gardening and farming and different stuff. Like, next year my garden will be lit and I can't wait. I'm definitely going to be putting it on the YouTube. I'll probably be recording a couple episodes of the podcast from the garden. So, I'm actually kind of excited. But... you know, it's like I said, I attach onto something and it just kind of goes from there. So it's going really, really well. And, you know, it's crazy because when I was in Germany, it's really hard to get sunshine out there, especially during certain times of the year. And sunshine actually helps with mental health. So being home plus being out in the sun, and then something that's helped, one of my therapists actually told me, you know, don't put gloves on when you're like dealing with the dirt, and like try not to wear shoes in your backyard. Because the soil, like, I guess, like, it seeps into your bloodstream and something about serotonin. I don't fucking know. You can look it up. But it's apparently good for you. And I can definitely attest to it. I love getting out in my garden every day. I love my plants. I go out there and I play music. You know, I cry when my plants start dying. Like, I take really, really good care of my plants. So if any of you are, like, on the fence about getting some plants, do it. I have indoor and outdoor plants. And it was definitely a learning journey, but in this journey, I've learned a lot about myself. I have more patience. I give myself more grace. I'm more willing to learn, kinder, more appreciative. Like, I don't know, I've learned a lot during this gardening journey, and I'm super excited to see how much farther I can take this. Me and the fairy lash mother, we've been talking about hydroponics and like switching over, because obviously, you know, the growing season is kind of dwindling down, so I don't want to lose all of my plants, especially like my herbs and stuff. So we've been looking into hydroponics and how we can bring it, you know, transition my plants to in the house. So it's really cool. So I'll definitely keep you guys posted with that. What else? I've started another business. I don't know if I talked about it last season. I can't remember, but I was going through some courses last year. I've taken a lot of different tests, and I am officially a board certified credit repair specialist and credit literacy educator. I blew up. I have over 80,000 followers on TikTok. I'm on my second Instagram page because the first one got taken down, but I'm sitting at about a little over 1,200 followers. I have almost 1,000 people in my Facebook group. My workshops have hundreds of people. During the week, like, I'm speaking to thousands with as many emails and DMs and lives and, you know, Zoom calls and all that stuff. Like, whew, it's a lot. But I'm blessed. I'm excited. Like, I don't know, I'm just really excited to see where this is gonna go. And I'm really excited. I'm really thankful, I guess you could say, for where the journey has taken me so far. I'm very, very passionate about it. Money is a big thing to me. I know what it's like to be broke. I know what it's like to not have credit. I know what it's like to be denied for apartments and you need somewhere to live. Like, I just remember it all, and I just don't want that for other families. And so I do what I can to help who I can. And it's going a lot better than I ever could have imagined. And I have nobody to thank but the Most High, because, man, I never thought this was possible. Never thought this was possible. I've also linked up with, his name is Blake. His podcast is called Diary of a Mad Black Man. He's the owner of the Black Podcast Club. And I've linked up with him and Will and Scorpion November and a bunch of other people. I'm in the Black Podcast Club, and I've been able to just kind of watch from the sidelines as like at these Black creatives, like being surrounded by so much Black excellence. Like, not gonna lie, we're super intimidated by their success, all as podcasters and content creators, and just seeing all the things that they were accomplishing, and I just felt like there was no direction in my podcast. Like this, like literally this was something that I just did because I felt like I had a lot inside of me to get out, and I felt like I didn't have nobody to talk to, so I was just talking to myself, and then I just put it out there because I felt like other people might be going through this. But you know, listening to Blake and his journey with his podcast and just listening to his podcast, I've realized that my journey is unique, but it doesn't mean that it's not just as meaningful as other people's, you know? Who knows where I'll be in a year or 2 years or 3 years, you know? With every season, I want growth. With every season, I want change. And with every season, as long as I'm impacting at least one person, as long as one person finds some kind of value in what I'm saying and what I'm doing, then I'm okay with that. Not to mention, let me tell y'all, we have a ball recording these fucking episodes, okay? Like it's always the usual suspects. But we have so much fun doing it. And even if it's just for that aspect alone, I'm happy. I'm super happy. So, I think that's about it. I can't think of anything else I have to update y'all on. Like, I'm pretty sure that's it. As you can see, I've been doing a lot. I've been staying busy. I'm not eating trash like I used to. I do eat healthier. We no longer drink cow's milk or anything like that. So I guess that's a plus. But I need to start exercising. I think that's what I'm gonna start doing. I don't know. Like I ain't fat. But like I don't got a summer body. I have like a early winter, late winter, early spring body. Like I'm not summer ready yet. And I got a cruise coming up. That's the crazy part. So I really gotta do some crunches, get somebody flat tummy tea or something, child, cause the ghetto. But that is all for today's first episode. Like I can't wait for y'all to listen to the rest of season 2. This shit is so dope. I have so many dope content creators, creatives, entrepreneurs, you know, just I have so much coming. I'm so excited for you guys to listen to it. As always, thank you for all of the support that you guys have shown me over the last year. Thank you so much for everything. Like, I don't think y'all understand how much it means to me logging on to Anchor and seeing that even one person listened to my podcast. One person gave a shit what I had to say. And that's what keeps me going. If nobody told you today, I love you. Be yourself and everything else will fall into place. Crack is whack. Stay in school. And I think that's all I got for right now. But, you know, if you ever need anything, please don't hesitate to reach out. I'm available on all social media platforms. You can even like my page on Facebook, Arts, Crafts, and Go to Fuck to Therapy. And, you know, follow along. We go live when we record a lot of our sessions. It's just a lot of bullshit with my friends that's eventually chopped and mixed into podcast episodes. So, you know, stay tuned. There's so much coming from Arts, Crafts, and Go to Fuck to Therapy and Arts, Crafts, and Trap Music. Actually, we are now on Midia. Midia is a Black-owned, Black business marketplace. So think Etsy, but Black, so better. Arts, Crafts, and Trap Music is on Midia. It's MIIRIYA. You can download it on the Apple Store and in the Android Marketplace. It's amazing. Like, you can literally find anything on there from, it was a lady who sold cookies, cause I'm definitely finna hit her up. Bathing suits, jewelry, you know, my t-shirts, my back to school backpacks. There's so much on this app. I'm so blessed to be a part of it. And to actually, you know, see the benefit it has. It's highlighting so many businesses. So many people who, you know, sell like one or two things a year have completely sold out in days due to the hard work of the person who runs the app. So I'm shout out to them. Shout out to Midia and all of the businesses that are on Midia. I actually have a t-shirt available. It says that I'm so black I sell shit on Midia. So if you want one, hit me up. You can definitely order it, but I definitely want everybody to check it out. All right, but I'm really gone this time. So everybody, I hope you guys are doing good. There is another episode coming out in about a couple days. Actually, I just dropped this one as like a precursor, aka I was late and I needed to hurry up and drop it. But I'm hoping to have the next having the release schedule done by the time this goes up. So every Saturday you should be able to have a new episode of Arts Crafts to Go to Fuck to Therapy. But please don't shoot me if it ain't up, cause a bitch be tired. Okay. But have a good one, everybody. Remember, you know, be yourself and everything else will kind of come into place. And I'm out. The views and opinions expressed on today's show may not always match yours, but it doesn't mean that what these people feel is invalid, or aka wrong. So make sure that when you're expressing your opinions in the comments, and when you're listening to the show and responding to it on social media, you can be respectful of the fact that everybody is entitled to their own opinions, because everyone has their own experience. This has been Arts, Crafts, and Trap Music Production. Y'all have a good one.